Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Mike Dubosky. The White House is warning federal agencies about the potential for mass firings of workers if lawmakers can't agree on a funding bill. Democrats are demanding concessions in healthcare spending. Former FBI Director James Comey could be hit with federal charges today for allegedly lying to Congress from the new attorney for the Eastern District of Virginia, Lindsay Halligan.
When Halligan reported to work Monday, sources tell ABC News prosecutors presented her with a memo recommending that Comey not be charged with the crime, saying there was not enough evidence. But sources tell us Halligan is prepared to seek an indictment anyway, that she will soon attempt to convince a grand jury there is probable cause to charge Comey with lying to Congress and obstruction of justice.
ABC News Chief White House Correspondent Mary Bruce wrapping up a virtual speech at the United Nations moments ago, Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas saying that despite war, Palestinians will not leave our homeland. This is ABC News.
You're listening to 107.5 WLAK, Amory's home for Matinee on Air weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. Governor Tony Evers and the Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development have announced a new round of commercial driver training grant funding. According to a press release, the program aims to support the state's driving workforce with sustainable wages, recruitment, and helping drivers obtain a commercial driver's license. Trainers who are listed on the Federal Training Provider Registry operate in Wisconsin and provide training that meets entry-level requirements could receive a portion of the funding. Applications will be accepted until October 28th. Republican State Representative Scott Krug has introduced a proposal to allow clerks to begin counting absentee ballots a day earlier. The current election process requires clerks to wait until Election Day to count absentee ballots, causing delays in larger areas of the state like Milwaukee and Madison. The proposal would also require absentee ballot drop boxes to have 24-hour video surveillance live streamed on the local municipality's website and require that ballots be transferred from the drop boxes to a storage facility under law enforcement supervision. The Superior Police Department is investigating after a man was found deceased in the middle of the road around Wisconsin Point. According to law enforcement authorities, officers responded to reports of a man lying in the middle of the road at around 1:30 a.m. on Wednesday morning. First responders attempted life-saving measures when they arrived, but the 53-year-old Superior man was pronounced deceased at the scene. The Superior Police Department is still working to identify the cause of death and have not yet released his identity. Barron County public health officials are inviting residents to a presentation on tick-borne illnesses on Thursday evening. A representative from Barron County Public Health will host the presentation at the Thomas St. Angelo Public Library of Cumberland on Thursday at 5:30 p.m. The most common tick-borne illness in the state is Lyme disease from deer ticks, but some can carry more severe diseases like Powassan virus or alpha-gal syndrome. Residents interested in attending the event should register ahead by phone or by emailing the library. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
The Brewers return home. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers are back to host the Reds tomorrow night. They beat the Padres 3-1 to finish the regular season with the most wins on the road, 45. Jackson Chourio, though, just 1-for-4 at the plate. Pat Murphy.
He's had some not so good at bats where he leaves his zone and chases down, especially, or chases up. As young as he is, hopefully he learns it.
NFL, it's the Packers and the Cowboys in Dallas on Sunday night. I asked Micah Parsons if he's ever spoken to Cowboys owner Jerry Jones since being traded to Green Bay.
Nah, I mean, I never even heard from Jerry Jones himself when I even got traded. I found out through my agent. Like, I haven't talked to Jerry Jones since, like, what, OTAs?
Jones on The Fan in Dallas.
Jerry, do you think with the Micah deal that you let your money get mad and it just became a little bit too personal versus a football decision?
Absolutely not. Not at all. It was nothing personal. I told you I like Micah.
That's Cowboys owner Jerry Jones with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
You're listening to 107.5 WLAK, Amory's home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
Tons of sunshine, not only today, tomorrow, for the entire weekend, but even into next week. A dry stretch and unseasonably warm. Highs today flirt with 80 degrees. Tomorrow and for the weekend, the mid-70s. And back to nearly 80 degrees on Monday. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 59 degrees.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
ABC capitulating, pulling Jimmy Kimmel off the air. Mark Jacob.
Fascists look for pretexts. They want excuses to do terrible things. The right wing is looking for excuses to become even more authoritarian than it already is. The Turk thing is their pretext. 2 months ago, Trump was posting about getting rid of Jimmy Kimmel. It didn't have anything to do with Charlie Kirk. Not a thing. That's just a pretext.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Friday, we'll have former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel on to talk about the effort to get trumped up charges against former FBI Director Jim Comey.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Jane says. Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff, all coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us. The number is the same, whether you call or text. It is 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream. Hello, live stream. On Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up later on this hour after the 10:30 news, the Acme Packaging Company's Paul Noonan will join us to talk all things sports. So stay tuned for that. Right now, delighted he made time for us, carving out of his busy schedule. Representative Mark Pocan from Wisconsin's 2nd District is joining us on the phone. Good morning, Representative. How are you?
Hey, good morning. Thanks so much for having me.
Really appreciate you making time for us. I know you have many, many, many things going on, but there's a lot going on, Representative Pocan, that I think people need to be aware of in this fire hose of news that we're living in now every day. We wanted to start off with talking about the looming government shutdown that is coming up next week, correct?
Yes, potentially. Right now, the Senate is still scheduled to be in. We were scheduled to be in Monday and Tuesday, and the Republicans pulled back those 2 days on the calendar, which will make it a little difficult to do something to make sure there's not a shutdown. But Hakeem Jeffries has called the Democrats in town no matter what. We'll be there Monday night, ready to do whatever we need to do to keep the government open. But, you know, we've said very clearly, you can't take away health care from tens of thousands of our constituents and, you know, think that we're just going to roll over on this. So we'll see what happens in the coming days.
That is the sticking point, isn't it, Mr. Pocan, about ACA premiums in particular, from what I understand?
Yeah, that's a part of it, and the Medicaid cuts and anything healthcare related is essentially, where the problem lies. So, among other things that we would like to see done, but, you know, they wrote this without any Democratic input. That's not generally how it's done when you're doing a simple, so-called simple CR. And, so far we were supposed to have a meeting with President Trump this week. He canceled it. They don't look like they're really trying to do something.
Well, it almost feels like they want a government shutdown so they can blame Democrats.
That could be a part of it, that we're waiting to see what's going to happen. But I never try to predict Donald Trump these days. It's very difficult with that.
Congressman Pocan, I want to go back to you talking about the budget really quick as far as health care for folks. And people made it very clear who voted for this bill that, you know, they tried to reword it as saving Social Security and saving Medicare. And those are the words you hear on the outside. We see in press releases and on interviews on the Sunday shows. And I'm not asking you to name any names, but conversations you might be having with Republicans, how are they talking about this behind the scenes? Because they have to go back to their constituency an answer to them. They don't do town halls as much as they should, but there's definitely going to be blowback on what's coming down the road. And I'm just wondering what you're hearing from those who, you know, may have voted for it, even though they didn't want to because they didn't like this aspect of the bill.
You know, a lot of them are fine with what's in there, to be honest. I don't see a lot of Republicans saying, oh, my God, I screwed up.
Yeah.
And, you know, while they may claim that there's some saving factor, here's the reality. Social Security has a year less left in its life because of the tax cuts in that bill. So they trimmed a year off of the Social Security fund. And Medicare, because of how they wrote it, will get a half a trillion dollar cut because of how they did it. It's going to have an automatic sequestration, and there's a $500 billion cut that'll happen to Medicare. So the only thing they did is hurt Medicare and Social Security.
Yeah. And I think it's important that folks understand when we talk about Social Security and cut deductions come out of our paychecks. Mm-hmm. However often you get paid, but there's a deduction for Social Security, whether you make $40,000 a year or you make $87 million a year, the cap stops at like $174,000, right, Representative? So if I make,
yeah,
if I make
a little bit every year, but that's roughly the amount right now.
Yeah. Yeah. So if I make $87 million a year, my donations to Social Security stop once I hit $174,000.
Yeah. So it's a regressive tax. Mm-hmm. I mean, everything else, the more you make, the more you continue to pay in. This one, there's an actual stop. You don't pay another dime at that point. So, that's the problem.
You know, I guess the conversation, and once again, you're a part of this every day. Does anyone ever seriously bring up the conversation of, well, let's just raise the cap a little bit, make them pay a little bit more, like a half a percent more, a 1% more, and that could do so much for Social Security. Those billionaires and multimillionaires will never see it. They'll never understand the loss because it isn't really one. But I guess for me, as just a regular folk who pays his taxes, I never hear that conversation happening. Is that one that's just so unpopular that it never is brought up?
Well, there's no conversation on addressing Social Security yet right now, period, because unfortunately Congress does everything at the last minute generally. But Without question, the easiest solution to the what we're going to have eventually, you know, a problem occurring with Social Security fund is you lift the cap.
Yeah.
If you lift the cap and you pay no matter what your income is at the same percent as everyone else, you would add 75 years into the future for the fund. So in my opinion, there is an easy solution that we will likely go to at some point. If not a complete lifting of the cap, it'll be a lifting of the cap for people who make more than whatever number, you know, whatever dollar amount. But, that we've got a few years, and therefore Congress, in my experience, will not act until that happens.
Until they absolutely, absolutely have to.
And when they have to act, they'll call it a day and go home. There you go. So, go ahead.
If you're just joining us, Representative Mark Pocan is on the phone with us, representing Wisconsin's 2nd District, talking about Social Security, potentially raising the cap, which would alleviate a number of problems with the Social Security program. We also wanted to talk with you, Representative, about free speech and the whole Jimmy Kimmel dust-up. And it's been an interesting couple of days.
Yeah, well, you know, a couple fronts. One, I mean, it's thankfully, organically, people canceling their Disney and Hulu and ESPN subscriptions brought what happened. And, you know, it wasn't, no one could take credit for being the organizer. It was people just doing this on their own. And, you know, within a matter of days, they had to put Jimmy Kimmel back on. What I find especially ironic is they clearly had a rollout to increase the price of those services.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah.
And this just beat that. So talk about making a mistake. I mean, doing that, having many of us, myself included, canceling subscriptions and now increasing prices, you know, this could have a huge financial impact. And they did it all just to make, you know, Donald Trump happy, to make the FCC happy. And, you know, hopefully this sends a pretty big message that when you fight back like Jimmy Kimmel did, like the people did, that there's a price to be paid and we can defeat this administration on more things.
Well, and that was something that I, I took away from this with some of the things I've been reading and seeing on social media is that a lot of people feel so helpless and so hopeless. What can we do? It seems like nothing we do makes any effect. This made an effect. Disney lost like $4 billion.
You can speak up with your wallet and your vote.
Well, and I think more than $4 billion. I really do. I think that's the number based on people canceling subscriptions we saw. But there's a lot of people that are not going to renew with the increased rates, and that's going to have a much longer-term effect for them. So I've got the feeling there's a few Disney execs that might be in a little bit of hot water over this. Plus, don't forget the two major conglomerates, Sinclair and I think it's Nexstar, that still aren't putting Jimmy Kimmel on. Mm-hmm. So, you know, people could still, in those markets, put pressure talking to their advertisers as well about this. And, you know, this may be one of the turning points for folks to see that they do have the power individually to go after Donald Trump with his overreach. And, you know, I think this will be maybe one of those catalysts for us to learn a lot more lessons from.
And that's one of the things, too, Congressman, that it has definitely been brought up, but I feel like needs to stay in the forefront, is that Nexstar, Sinclair, and Disney all have business interests that are going to go before the FCC or are before the FCC. And not only is it they are doing actions, I mean, Sinclair and Nexstar are, they're doing actions to appease Donald Trump, but also just the sheer amount of power and coverage they will have over our media waves over the next few years if these deals go through. I mean, I think it was Robert Reich who put out a tweet that said the richest man in the world owns X. The second richest man is going to own TikTok. The third owns Facebook and Meta. The fourth owns the Washington Post. And it's just these billionaires who own everything that gives us our media and our information. And that gives me a great deal of pause.
Yeah, well, maybe, and that's one of the reasons why we're seeing some of the diffusing of how people get news, right? You know, we saw even on the Jimmy Kimmel show, I think he had 6 million viewers on TV, but 22 million across social media platforms, right?
Yeah.
Still, some of those platforms are owned by those really wealthy folks, but I think there is, you know, some pushback to this consolidation of what's happening in the media. But we just learned a really great lesson, you know, that we can punch back to some of the wealthiest people in the country who are willing to throw us under the bus to appease one person. Well, there's a price to be paid, and it could be a very long-term price.
Yeah. Well, and I guess what I think is important as well, Congressman, is that they are doing anything they can to appease him because of money.
Yeah.
It's because of money.
Yeah.
Yep. No, it's the greed that they have that cost them. And again, the timing, the fact that they had a rollout of a price increase literally days after this. I mean, you know, someone's losing their extra yacht vacation in the
at
Disney.
I was all ready for that second villa in Italy. No, what am
That's
I gonna
it,
do now?
Ted. That's it, Ted. Turn in your fourth boat.
Speaking of perks, when we get back, we're going to talk about some of the little things that you might have not realized were in that big blob of a bill that we passed because it's so good for regular Americans and all of us with private planes. We're going to talk about
that. I have a private plane, Jane.
You do.
I have three of them. Why don't you?
I'd like a ride.
There you go.
We're going to talk about some of those hidden gems within that big, beautiful bill that's supposed to be helping, you know, just us regular folks. Maybe not so much. Mark Pocan is our guest representative from Wisconsin's 2nd District. We are going to continue our conversation on the other side. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
She gives me, and she starts to cry. She takes a swing, man. She can't help. She don't mean no harm. She just don't know what else to do about it. Jane.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Amory Chevrolet makes the car buying process simple and painless. Whether you're looking to upgrade to something bigger because of your growing family, or you want the adrenaline and want the rush of a two-door sports car for a weekend getaway at the lake, Amory Chevrolet has something for everyone. Stop into their modern showroom today, and any one of their friendly staff will be happy to assist you in your car buying journey. Located along Highway 46 on Amory's south side, Amory Chevrolet is here when you need them.
Do you have three ex-wives and your current trophy wife wants a life insurance policy three times the size of the policies you had to purchase for your previous mistakes? If so, you need to call Big Lou at Term Provider, 800-859-3220. Big Lou is intimately familiar with your problems, and if you're 50 to 60 years old and in reasonably good health, a $1 million policy should only cost about $100 to $200 per month. Big Lou may have a solution for your previous policies as well. You may even save enough money to lighten the load on your new $1 million policy. Remember, call Big Lou. He's like you. Except he's only on number two. Call Term Provider at 800-859-3220. That's 800-859-3220 for $1 million in term life insurance that you can live with. Call Big Lou at 800-859-3220. 800-859-3220.
Make every day extraordinary with something special from Wisconsin. From artisan cheeses to fresh produce to maple syrup, the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection's Something Special from Wisconsin program is proud to work with member businesses that certify their Wisconsin-made and processed products. Look for the red and yellow sticker and visit somethingspecialfromwisconsin.com to find member businesses and products made with care, quality, and love. Sponsored by Wisconsin DATCP.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calby on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up at 11 o'clock, the Tom Hartman Show. In the 11 o'clock hour, he will have a keyword for you as part of our multi-state text win. Go for the green and gold contest. Great prizes up for grabs. So be listening to Tom Hartman. In the 11 o'clock hour, he will have the next keyword for you. Then again, in the 1 p.m. hour, 3 p.m. with Todd Alba, 5 p.m. with Maggie Dawn, who's on the road today, and then 7 o'clock tonight with Pete Schwabba. Lots of chances for you to win. So be listening for Tom Hartman and that keyword after 11 o'clock. Delighted to be joined by Congressman Mark Pocan from Wisconsin's 2nd District. You're actually on the ground here, sir.
Yeah, you're heading. You are heading to Milwaukee today. What are you? What are we in store for when you visit?
Just some different meetings. This week I've been getting around a little more than usual since I've been home for the whole week. You know, they've changed our schedule so much this year that it has been very difficult to have a schedule. So we were supposed to be in session Monday and Tuesday. Then they canceled it, so we got rid of our plane ticket. Then Hakeem said, no, we should be out there. Yeah. We got a new plane ticket. Like, there's a lot of yo-yoing in my life these days.
Well, I understand meetings. You're very busy. I wouldn't have been surprised if you were doing a town hall, as you've been doing many of them, and not only in your district but just around Wisconsin. Because, congrats and respect to the GOP members who are actually doing them and getting yelled at. That's, you know, I applaud your courage. But you're getting out there and talking to people and hearing what they have to say about everything going on. And I feel like, I would love to assume that they see that this big bill is not going to provide the winning that Donald Trump's friends are. Am I correct in that assumption, sir?
Yeah, in fact, I think it's still over 90% of the Republicans still haven't done a town hall. It's a very high number because of that bill. I mean, they know that it's not a popular bill, even though they'll tell you it's good. But, you know, the common sense smell test is if you really did something great, you'd get on the rooftop and get a megaphone and speak about it. Instead, they're hiding in their basements instead of doing town halls. So the more we do, the good news is over 50 members of the Congressional Progressive Caucus during the August break went into a Republican's district and either did a town hall or event or something to raise awareness. So, you know, I think more and more people are doing this. I think it's a really good strategy. I will be back in Derek Van Orden's district soon doing another one. And we're even talking about going on the road with some other members to districts that may not, you know, have a Democratic rep. They have a Republican rep. And, you know, we just need to make sure we're sharing what's in that bill with them.
We're talking to Congressman Mark Pocan from Wisconsin's 2nd District. And I want to talk a little bit about the big, beautiful blob of a bill that pretty much, you know, we cut school lunches. I read an article today that a man who gets Meals on Wheels in Menomonee Falls now has to cut back to 3 days a week. So those are the kinds of things that were being cut. But we did give a break for some people, Representative Pocan, didn't we? Especially for those who need to fly.
Yeah, oh, there's all kinds of little specialized tax cuts in there for the wealthiest, for various special interests. You know, I think the thing that really should resonate with folks the most, the so-called middle-class tax cuts, the tax cut on tips, the tax cut on overtime pay, the tax break on for some seniors, and one on auto loan interest. When you add all of those together, the ones that they tout are what they actually did in that bill, that only adds up to 5% of the bill. So 95% goes to things like you know, corporate jets and the wealthiest. And those tax cuts, by the way, for the wealthiest got made permanent.
Permanent.
And those other tax cuts are only temporary.
Huh.
So it's very clear who they were fighting for in that bill.
Again, in case you missed it, my friends, there are tax breaks if you buy a private jet, correct?
Yeah, there's a number of different tax breaks that are in there. That one probably is going to affect, you know, a relatively small amount of people, but very, very wealthy folks who are then who least probably need that as a tax cut. But, you know, when they start playing around with the rates and taking care of, again, the wealthiest, you know, I think it's something like the bottom 30 percentile of people are going to pay more in order to help provide these tax cuts, in addition to the cuts they're going to get for Medicaid and for tax breaks for the Affordable Care Act, for their health care, for food assistance, like you mentioned, for education funding. You know, all those things are in trade so that the wealthiest get those tax cuts.
I don't know if, I mean, I what I'm hearing, guys, here, I'm hearing a revolutionary new economic plan called trickle-up economics. It's great. It's where poor people support the rich because the rich have had it really hard. They're in the spotlight
a lot. They're struggling.
We're making fun of them from time to time. I just think this is good policy and bootstraps all around for people.
Yes. No, that's essentially what they're doing. And, you know, this is also, you know, another way of saying it, it's the donor class, right?
Yes.
You know, who fund Republican campaigns are getting the tax break. So, you know, we just all have to remember that. We have to really remember that, you know, probably the most significant thing if we're actually going to ever have change is to have campaign finance reform and get rid of Citizens United, where these rich people put dark money into campaigns and distort elections. And, you know, but they do it for a reason. They do it because they get tax breaks like this. And another reason why we need meaningful campaign finance reform.
He is a congressman, the representative for Wisconsin's 2nd District, Mark Pocan. Thank you so very, very much for your time today. We really appreciate it. Be safe on the road.
Thank you very much. Take care.
You as well. We have news coming up next. And then when we return, it's Audio Sorbet and the Acme Pack Company's Paul Noonan to talk all things sports.
Baseball.
Baseball, baby. That's coming up. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report right here on 107.5 WLAK.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. Governor Tony Evers and the Wisconsin Department of Transportation will soon begin accepting applications for agricultural roads improvement grant funding. According to a press release, the application period for the first round of grant funding through the new biennial state budget will open on October 6th. $50 million will be available during the first round to support projects across the state focused on improving rural roads and culverts. The grant funding is meant to make transporting the state's agricultural and forestry products more efficient. Northern Wisconsin Congressman Tom Tiffany has officially announced he will run for governor in the 2026 election. In his announcement, Tiffany said his top priority would be improving Wisconsin's business climate. He's the third Republican to enter the race so far, joining Washington County Executive Josh Shulman and New Berlin businessman Bill Berrien. Five candidates have announced in the Democratic primary field, including Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, State Senator Kelda Royce, and Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley. A Ladysmith City administrator and his sister have been arrested after allegedly attempting to illegally record a closed county board session. According to the Rusk County Sheriff's Office, 37-year-old Alan Christensen and his 34-year-old sister Stephanie Christensen are facing charges of attempting to use electronic, mechanical, or other devices to intercept oral communications in relation to the closed county board session on August 26th. Video footage allegedly shows Stephanie using her cell phone to record the session through a closed door. City of Stone Lake officials are inviting residents to celebrate the 47th annual Cranberry Festival next weekend. The yearly event will be held from October 2nd to 5th and could see as many as 30,000 visitors throughout the weekend. Next Saturday will be the busiest day of the festival, with over 300 vendors scheduled to set up shop throughout the downtown area. There will also be a parade at 2 p.m. beginning near the water tower and heading down the Main Street Hill. More information is available on the Cranberry Festival website. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Jimmy Kimmel made an emotional return to his talk show, Jimmy Kimmel Live, Tuesday night. The host delivered a 17-minute monologue where he still did not hold back against the FCC or the Trump administration, but did clarify he never intended insensitivity toward Erica Kirk or the Kirk kids, even tearing up a bit throughout the monologue after an emotional few days. His biggest line of the night was probably after he played a clip of the president saying Kimmel doesn't have good ratings. When the camera went back to Jimmy, he said, "I do tonight," and the crowd stood and applauded like it did several times throughout the monologue or when he hugged Guillermo. Overall, the night was a big slap back at government overreach, with the host citing support from conservatives like Ben Shapiro, Candace Owens, and Ted Cruz. Even Joe Rogan, not so courageously, backed Kimmel after finally feeling it was safe to do so. It will be interesting to see how long the love lasts. But for now, Jimmy Kimmel is happy to be back. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 107.5 WLAK.
Tons of sunshine not only today, tomorrow, for the entire weekend, but even into next week. A dry stretch and unseasonably warm. Highs today flirt with 80 degrees. Tomorrow and for the weekend, the mid-70s. And back to nearly 80 degrees on Monday. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
It's 60 degrees at our studios.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
My problem is I don't ever eat fish fries, so when I do it, I overdo it. I ordered a large perch, ate everything on my plate, and I felt like I wanted to die. And now I don't want to eat fish again, maybe ever.
I know it's a staple to get breaded fish, but if you don't get the bread on it, you know, you can kind of get away with eating more.
I'm not trying to gain weight for football here. I'm like, I just want to have a nice meal.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Maggie Dawn.
Broadcasting live from the Reisinger family Hilltop Farm. We talk to the Reisingers about their family farming tradition, the Farmer Angel Network about the mental health crisis impacting agricultural communities, and last, the Wisconsin Farmers Union.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Dallas left a hole in the ceiling.
Good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, the one, the only, our Calzone on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Before we get to our guests, just a reminder, make sure you have the Civic Media app. Download the Civic Media app if you don't have it yet. It is completely free wherever you get your apps. Go to your app store. Look for Civic Media, C-I-V-I-C, Civic Media app. Download the app. Then you will be ready in the 11 o'clock hour when Tom Hartman has the next keyword for you as part of our multi-state text to win. Go for the green and gold contest. Also, if you have the Civic Media app, yesterday at this time, we talked to our colleague David Grant from Max FM in Baraboo. And if you have the app and you want to listen to one of our music stations, you can do that.
And if you want to give to the request-a-thon, go to max.fm for more information. You can make a request in there. You can make a donation in there. All money goes to the Hope House, which is a wonderful shelter that works with domestic violence survivors.
For like five counties.
So if you want to be a part of that, go to max.fm for more information. Request a song.
It's $5 per request.
Knock a song down.
For $25, which is my favorite.
Or just donate like a good person would.
Yeah, helping their goal today is $5,000. We can help them get there.
We can do that.
So listen to Max FM. Again, they're in Baraboo, and they're having their big fundraiser today for Hope House. So let's get them to that $5,000. That would be great. He joins us every other Thursday to talk all things sports. He is the Acme Packing Companies and a songwriter on the side. Paul Noonan is here. Good morning. How are you?
Hey. Good morning. Doing great. How are you guys?
Let's talk about that little song.
Yeah, you told me that you're writing music now because, as we all know, if you put anything online, you are at risk of copyright strike because of the internet. And you told me in our email chat this morning that now you are writing your own music for your podcast, which is, tell us about your podcast, sir.
Yeah, so my football podcast is called Reporting is Eligible. It is sort of an analytics-focused podcast on the Packers every week. JR is actually on it quite often, along with my friend Matt. And I've always used pop music as the intros and outros for it. And the algorithms on Spotify and Apple and all those just started picking those off. And I could, by the way, talk about copyright for like 3 hours.
I'm sure.
I will not do that right now, but I would prefer to do that. And I tried to do a good citizen and talk to ASCAP and BMI and EMI, but they have no interest in licensing music to Small Potatoes podcasts. Is what it is. I, in my day job, work with AI a ton. I also understand that quite well and could talk about that for 3 hours. And I've written songs forever, so I just decided for my outros, especially. Well, I wrote a theme song; it's very good, I think. And also, I do a song specific to the upcoming opponent every week.
Gotcha. That's outros. Fantastic! I love that so much.
That's great. And this one we just played
was one. Pretty good. I like that one a lot. It turned out well.
Is there anywhere where people can go and hear all of these songs?
If you just go to Reporting is Eligible and listen to, so the intro is the intro every time, but like the last 30 to 45 seconds is always going to be the team specific one. So you can go check that out.
Wait, you need a spot. You need your own Spotify playlist, I think, Paul, if you're going to go through all that work as well.
I might do that. It's not something that's impossible anymore. You do have to work through a production company to do that, but there are some out there that do that work do it better than the actual music licensing companies out there do it. So that might happen at some point.
Well, let Greg and I know if you need any backup. We can doo-wop with the best of them. So
I can tambourine.
Yeah, we can help you out if you need some background vocals.
Sounds good.
Paul Noonan is here to talk all things sports. So let's talk. I think top of mind are the Brewers.
They are likely going to have the one seed going to the playoffs. Their magic number is one. That means any Brewer win or Philadelphia loss will get them the one seed throughout the playoffs. The Brewers are off today. They have a, I think, a well-needed off day today. But the Phillies do play, so they could clinch it all today at some point. We'll see. But it would take quite the collapse at this point to not have the one seed, and they have everything else wrapped up. They'll be no worse than the two seed. They are going to be well positioned. They will have a first round bye in the playoffs and skip the 3-game wild card. They are, however, very, very likely to end up playing the winner of the Cubs and Padres, who we just played in the divisional round. Which is not the best. We've talked about this on my baseball podcast a few times. The Cubs in particular are not a great matchup for the Brewers, aside from the fact that, you know, they will be annoying in AmFam. There's the annoyance factor, but the one kind of team the Brewers struggle with is teams that play really good defense. They put the ball in play more than just about any other team, and they really put pressure on opposing defenses to be perfect. The Cubs, they're a good team. They're a flawed team, but one thing they are good at is they're one of the only teams that is like the Brewers' equivalent in defensive play, and that's one of the reasons the Brewers have had some trouble with them this year. So I would say, you can't predict baseball, but in that first round, that's probably going to be the Padres and Cubs. Even though we just lost a series to the Padres, I'll be pulling for the Padres. I think we're a better matchup. And that Padres series, which, we won the last game last night, it was a weird series. It was weirdly officiated. In fact, baseball just announced they're going to put in a very, very limited ball and strike challenge system next year.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Almost all of the examples as to why it might be a good idea were calls in the Brewers Padres series that just happened, which was not the greatest officiated baseball series ever on balls and strikes in particular. I think not yesterday, but the game before, there's a place called Umpire Scorecard that actually rates how good and how consistent umpires were on a day-to-day basis. They were wrong on 15% of ball strike calls in that game, which is a big number.
That's high.
Yeah.
It's very, very high. So it's going to be limited. You can only challenge two a game, I think, and just to keep things rolling. But baseball has been working towards this for a while. You can expect that to expand over time. And next to that, anyway, the Brewers series was weird, and I still think they're a good matchup for the Padres. I'm pulling for that one.
I've heard some things about some of the pitching, because we've had to bring up some pitchers who likely will not be around for very long.
Yes. Part of this is all because Brandon Woodruff is no longer. He got hurt. His shoulder's hurt. We'll see if he ever pitches again. He had that epic comeback from the shoulder last time. This is allegedly unrelated, but.
It's all related, though. It's all related. Like, it's not like it's ugh.
It is all related. And so they're a little bit behind the eight ball. And to finish off the season, they've had like Zimmerman up for like a cup of coffee, and Carlos F. Rodriguez was back up, and he will not be long for this world either. But I do think over the last two games, we saw what they'll likely do in the playoffs. So the sure thing in the playoffs, Freddy Peralta will start a game, and Quinn Priester will start a game. Freddy will probably get game one. Priester will probably get game two. After that, it's been an open question, because Jacob Mizorowski has been quite bad over the last several months and has not really put them in a good position to win many games, except against the Pirates, who have like the worst offense in baseball. But it's probably going to be either a Chad Patrick or Jose Quintana start with a very short leash. I do analytics for things. One of the truisms of baseball is that all starting pitchers get much, much worse the third time through the batting order. And one of the things the Brewers do with all of their pitchers except for Priester and Peralta is that. Take them out when they get to the third time through the order. And so that's what you'll see. Game three will be either Patrick or Quintana, and they will not face the leadoff hitter a third time. You will get the bevy of relievers like they got last night in San Diego with Ashby and everybody who is, they're sort of middling relievers to try to get to Abner. But that's what it's going to be like. They're going to use a lot of pitchers in the playoffs, and hopefully it's enough to get it done for them.
I really feel for Mizorowski. I do. He's a kid.
Yeah.
And just to have that much pressure, and then so many expectations, and I just feel badly for him.
I think any real baseball fan, though, I mean, yes, pie in the sky, your team, you want them to be great immediately, but everybody who knows baseball knows that coming out immediately dominating is not really the case. It's always like, we're going to look at it like he could have a great time this season, but let's start looking at him like a year or two down when he's getting in the club, he's getting in the mix,
right,
and really getting acclimated to everything going on within just that team, not only just also playing in professional baseball. And if you're just joining us, we are talking to Paul Noonan, who is a writer for the Acme Packing Company, and he joins us every other Thursday to talk sports. And while we're on pitching, I want to divert just for a moment and ask you a question of decorum when it comes to baseball. Because earlier this week, Guardians player David Fry was hit in the face by a 99-mile-an-hour fastball by Detroit Tiger pitcher Tarik Skubal.
Skubal, yeah.
And the question I have for you is, if you watch that video, the pitcher is immediately affected. He is upset. He feels bad. Is he unable or not allowed to approach the batter to see if he needs help, or does he have to stay away by rule of MLB?
So I don't think it's by rule, but it is definitely a decorum point, and it's honestly a safety point.
Mm-hmm.
When there is an injured player it's an any sport rule. Rule one for every other player on the field is give the guy space, do not take up space where your medical people may be rushing
sure.
out to help.
Yeah. Sure.
And so everybody does that. And you really don't want to rush to the other team either, because it becomes a chaotic situation. And depending on whether, by the way, not the case here, but good blood or bad blood, it can look like something different than what it is. Mm-hmm. They don't know that you're going to check on them.
Yeah. Right,
you know?
Right.
And so it really is we stay away from him, you know, feel bad, look like you feel bad on the field, as you should.
He did.
Nobody wants that. I mean, I believe he was bunting at the time.
Yes, he was.
It was definitely Skubal trying to give him a hard pitch to bunt. And this happens actually a fair amount during bunting, because bunting is a surprise to the pitcher. You know, usually you're just throwing, you got the catcher's mitts, the swing happens after. But when you see the guy square around, you don't want to be changing your mind mid-pitch when you're a major league pitcher.
Yeah.
And this occasionally will happen when they're like, oh, I have to throw a different pitch now. I'm already halfway through this. So,
well, I can imagine.
An unfortunate situation for sure. But hopefully everybody's okay. But yeah, you want to stay out of their way and let the medical people do their thing.
Paul, we only have about 60 seconds left. The Packers, they sucked on Sunday.
Boy, did they ever. So they were terrible. Here's the thing. I do think this is kind of a one-off. They probably still should have won the game despite playing absolutely terrible. But the good news is this. Cleveland is very good in their front seven and getting pressure. The Packers' offensive line was banged up. That's a terrible matchup. It happened because Zach Tom went out right away. Dallas has like the worst pass rush in football. And that is partially because we stole their best player. And so the situation is very unlikely to repeat itself. The Packers should be okay this Sunday against the Cowboys. They cannot do what Cleveland did. They have no ability to do it. They've given up points to everybody they faced, including a terrible Giants team. Packers should be all right.
All right.
Check out Paul Noonan's podcast. He's got baseball, football, take your pick. Check him out.
Yep.
Acme Packing Company's Paul Noonan joins us every other Thursday. Thank you so very much, Paul. We will see you in a couple. When we return, we're going to wrap up the show with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today, it is the Night Shift Edition. Stay close. This is Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. President Donald Trump's March 25th executive order on elections, attempting to override the U.S. Constitution's grant of election authority to states and Congress, has so far been blocked by 4 of 5 lawsuits filed against it. A ruling in one of those cases, September 17th, allows a challenge from 19 states to move forward. The executive order would withhold federal funding from any state which does not implement the use of the National Voter Registration Form and mandate proof of citizenship documents, including a birth certificate, naturalization papers, a Real ID compliant driver's license, or a U.S. passport. It would also end mail-in ballot grace periods, restrict ballot deadlines to Election Day, and withholds federal grants if they don't. States challenging the order include California, Arizona, Colorado, Connecticut, Delaware, Nevada, Massachusetts, Hawaii, Illinois, Maine, Maryland, Michigan, Minnesota, New Jersey, New Mexico, New York, Rhode Island, Vermont, and Wisconsin. U.S. District Court Judge Denise Casper issued a stay on Trump's order in June, saying the states had demonstrated a substantial risk that citizens would be disenfranchised. Her September 17th ruling confirms that the states have legal standing to contest the president's order and that they would be harmed, particularly by the withholding of Help America Vote Act funding. We've linked to the order and more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Get ready to go for the green and gold on this local Civic Media radio station. Listen each weekday for the keywords to text for your chance to win our daily prize, $200 cash and gold jewelry. And be entered to win our grand prize, two indoor club level seats to see the green and gold take on Minnesota in Green Bay.
The WLAK Go for the Green and Gold text win contest is powered by Amory Chevrolet. Lifetime warranty, trusted service, hometown values. Amory Chevrolet, where people matter most.
Celebrate Wisconsin's farming heritage with a special broadcast of the Maggie Dawn Show on Thursday from 4 to 6 p.m. live from the Reisinger family Hilltop Farm in Spring Green. We'll learn about the Reisinger family's past and explore their future. We'll also discuss the mental health crisis facing the state's farming community with the Farmer Angel Network. And we'll talk about programs that support farmers across Wisconsin with the Wisconsin Farmers Union. Celebrate the legacy of the Reisinger family and families like them Thursday afternoon on the Maggie Dawn Show.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
We don't always agree politically, but Bill McCosh.
Thanks for having me. You want to talk Brewers first?
It's been a really special season, and it's not whether you're wearing red or blue hats. It's yellow and blue.
How do you come together in politics? This is one of the ways.
Yeah.
Find some common ground and then expand on that. And right. Then you got to listen
yeah.
to the other side.
Our neighbors are not our enemies. We can disagree politically, but still find ways to bring our community together.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app. As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvinator on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, 855-752-4842. If you'd like to join the show, you can also leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. And just a reminder, make sure you have the Civic Media app. Coming up in the 11 o'clock hour with Tom Hartman, he is going to have the latest keyword for you as part of our multi-state text to win, go for the green and gold contest. You have to enter via the Civic Media app. And also going on today, we talked to David Grant yesterday from Max FM in Baraboo, one of our sister stations. They're having a great fundraiser for a local domestic violence shelter called Hope House, which serves like five counties in the Baraboo area. They just had some federal funding cut.
Yeah.
They're trying to raise $5,000 with their request-a-thon. So you can listen to Max FM on your Civic Media app.
Yes.
You can call in, request a song for $5. You can do it at dedication for $10.
Mm-hmm.
You can also bump somebody's song for $25, which I love so much.
And Andrew in Maine said, so I can request Max FM play the Lions theme song for $5 a pop. Good to know. Yes, you
yes,
can.
Yes, you can.
Do it. Go for it.
And then someone else can outbid you and pay $25 to bump that song.
And we'll talk about it later because this is audio sorbet, but we will talk about it later how the federal government is cutting programs that help people like domestic violence survivors. But that's for another day, for another hour of the show.
Exactly.
We're here in audio sorbet in the time of cleaning your ears with fun.
There you go. But let's get them to $5,000 today. Listen to Max FM on the Civic Media app and make some requests and make some donations, and let's get them to that $5,000 goal. It is 10:54, Calvin. That means it's time for
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
If you ever find a thing you think should not be, send it into Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. This from the Phoenix New Times with Tyrion Bowen has the byline.
Whoa, what a name.
I know. And the headline reads, local coffee truck banned from Scottsdale Hospital due to name. Hospital workers had a problem with administrators over this decision. Unfortunately, due to our logo and our name, we are no longer allowed to serve coffee at Mayo Hospital in Scottsdale, effective immediately, according to the owners of a local coffee trailer. Their name?
Yeah.
Graveyard Shift Coffee.
I mean, yeah. That's an apt name if they're there late night.
Graveyard Shift Coffee. I love that.
Yes.
How can you not love that?
Let's take a. I'm gonna look it up because it's not. They don't have a picture.
In the article, the coffee trailer sets up outside the Phoenix Children's campus, typically serving its signature coffee drinks to night shift nurses. They're there from 9 p.m. to 1 a.m. The company's social media page full of memes depicting people hooking up to IVs with coffee, joking about stress, anxiety, and caffeine addiction sold separately.
It is a... Okay, look. If you are an uptighter, yeah, I can see where you're like, well, we don't like that. It is a picture of a skeleton wearing scrubs, holding a cup of coffee with a stethoscope around its bony neck. And name me the person... Who says I can't go there? That coffee truck is far too ominous. Am I going to die if I drink the coffee that's not a part of this? It's so dumb.
It is dumb.
This is dumb.
The owners posted their announcements to their social media page on Monday. By Wednesday, it had accumulated over 1,600 likes and 300 comments. All a bunch of nurses were telling them, "Please come to our hospital.
Yeah.
We would love to see you.
Yes.
I vote you to park across the street from us. Nurses will still show you our support." One commenter said, "Well, that's completely fair. Before you guys started coming, many people there had no idea that graveyards existed." And ultimately, one commenter said, "Night shift, we just can't have anything nice."
Yeah. I mean, it's...
Someone complained about a coffee truck outside of a hospital, 9 p.m. to 1 a.m.,
mm-hmm.
called Graveyard Shift Coffee.
This may be the most quintessential this shouldn't be a thing. This is just absolutely bonkers. And I would love to hear the reasoning from the administration.
It upset someone.
Oh, no.
Can't say graveyard next to a hospital.
Don't watch Nightmare Before Christmas because there's bony people in that as well. Oh, no. Don't go to Spirit Halloween or look down a candy aisle this month.
I think they're going to have all kinds of offers for alternate locations. But unfortunately for the nurses at that one particular clinic, you're out of luck.
I mean, it's not like it's called Murder Hospital Coffee. This is so... This is... Okay, am I... Like I'm like an old man. Like, no one takes a joke nowadays. Everyone's so sensitive and soft. It's like, this is so... This is what happens when corporate structures get involved in fun. They ruin the fun.
They kill fun.
They kill fun.
Pretty
They're fun killers. They send it to the graveyard.
That wraps up today's episode of...
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Tomorrow is Friday. Dan Schaefer will be here, Civic Media's political editor, the creator of the Recombobulation Area.
It's not Friday. It's like Tuesday.
Tomorrow
isn't it?
Is Friday.
Good Lord.
Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers and everyone at Civic Media. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting, for listening and for watching on the stream. It means the world. It really does. I hope you find some joy today and you get the chance to share it. And make a dedication on Max FM.
Yes.
Get another goal of $5,000. Mm-hmm. Have a wonderful day. We have Tom Hartman coming up next, right after the news. We are the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Mike Dabusky. High stakes for federal workers as the deadline to pass a government funding agreement gets closer. The White House is calling Democrats' demands for more health care spending ridiculous and threatening to lay off hundreds of workers at federal agencies if a shutdown is triggered at the end of the month. ABC News has learned that President Trump's choice to take over the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Eastern District of Virginia is going to bring federal criminal charges against former FBI head James Comey. He's been accused of lying to Congress in testimony 5 years ago. More from ABC News White House correspondent Mary Bruce.
Halligan, an insurance lawyer, has never prosecuted a criminal case in her career or presented evidence to a grand jury. And she's racing the clock. The statute of limitations to seek an indictment against Comey runs out next week.
And President Trump later today is expected to sign off on a framework agreement to force the sale of TikTok to a new joint venture predominantly owned by American companies. This is ABC News.
You're listening